This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you for tuning in to the Saturday Horse Show. Last weekend, horse-drawn carriages in St. Louis came under fire from Pam Walker, the St. Louis Health Director. To talk about this debacle, I spoke with Jerry Kirk, the owner of Brookdale Farms, and the horses that were at the center of this issue.
The first thing that happened to us was last Saturday night. Apparently the lady who's in charge of the health department for the city of St. Louis saw my horse Moose breathing hard after he had just finished a ride. It was approximately 8:30 at night. It was Moose's third ride in about 4.5 hours. He had done 3 15-minute rides, about 4.5 hours. It was about 84 degrees out, and, you know, the humidity might have been a little higher, but he was, it was like 84, 85 degrees at the time. And Moose had just finished a ride and was breathing a little heavy, and she saw him and proceeded to call me and start screaming at me and blocked people from getting on the carriage that wanted to take a ride, stopped my other horse that was behind Moose and wouldn't let people get on a ride to go with that horse and carriage either.
That sounds like it was quite a lot to deal with in one night. Now, how is Moose, the horse in question, doing?
Well, Moose, I immediately responded to the scene. It took me approximately 40 minutes to get there. And when I got there, I observed Moose, and he was completely and totally fine. He wasn't breathing heavy. He was obviously comfortable. He was at rest. He was, wasn't perspiring. I did a capillary response test on him and, you know, determined that he was completely hydrated. All of our drivers carry water buckets on the carriages. Moose had been drinking fine all day long. He had no issues with anything. He was just breathing a little heavy after a ride. So the next day, the lady had the city veterinarian, who's in charge of animal control, which deals with dogs and cats, come out to my stable in downtown St. Louis and walked through the barn and looked at Moose and walked away and went back. And immediately I heard from the press that they were saying that Moose had COPD. I've been a horseman for a long time, and every time I've heard of a horse having a breathing problem, it's been called the heaves, never COPD. And anybody who knows anything about horses kind of knows that you can't diagnose heaves or COPD in a horse without giving him an ultrasound. But they immediately went to the press with that all on Sunday and said that Moose had COPD, and it was on all the news channels and in the newspaper and everything else. So that day was kind of rough on us because people were, you know, everybody had misinformation. There's a lot of misinformation out there. But basically what happened is after this incident kind of got published and was in the news and everything, originally the lady tried to say that Moose was having a heat stroke, and I told her that he obviously didn't have heat stroke, and if he did, why in the world would she make him stand there for 2.5 hours, wouldn't let us take him back to the barn, wouldn't let us try to cool him off, wouldn't let us do anything. She had the police officers there keep Moose and my other horse standing on the side of the street for 2.5 hours while she got a reporter from the Post-Dispatch and anybody else she could get there to take her picture with the horse.
That is an interesting situation. You'd think the first thing you'd want to do if a animal is undergoing heat stress is to get them somewhere cooled off and get them something to drink.
Right. When this first happened, she talked to me on the phone. I asked her to let the horse go return to the barn. I was going to have our trailer head that way, meet my driver, so he wouldn't even have to walk away. So after the heat stress or the heat stress theory of hers didn't work, then it became COPD. So I had Moose come to, I brought Moose back to my farm and had my veterinarian come and check him out on Monday afternoon. And at that time, he also invited the city veterinarian to observe. And, they did a complete workup on Moose and gave him an ultrasound, checked him for COPD, or what I would call the heaves, and most other horses would call the heaves. And Moose was completely fine. He was given a complete clean bill of health. The vet used the word perfect to describe his body type and condition. He was in great shape. So we released all that information, and then things kind of started turning around a little bit, and people started realizing that maybe this lady has an agenda other than just worried about horses' health and safety.
Now, everybody knows that right now we are undergoing a fairly cool summer. What is the protocol for summers that are much hotter than this when it comes to the horses who are pulling carriages during the day in St. Louis, say when it's 100 degrees out and humid?
part of the problem that we're having here with the whole situation is the fact that we used to be under control by one city agency who suddenly found out that they were no longer in control of us and were able to monitor the horses and the carriages. Kind of left us in a vacuum, and now because of that, this lady has kind of decided to force her agenda on us. We had a heat plan filed with the Metropolitan Taxicab Commission saying that we would not work the horses before 7 p.m. on any given day when the heat index was above 107. Now, the lady has decided that she doesn't want the horses out any day if the heat index is above 100, but she really doesn't have any authority to do any of those things, so it's kind of an interesting situation.
Right. I imagine it's a little confusing for everyone if there's no set entity to establish rules over horse-drawn carriages around St. Louis.
Right, and that's kind of the issue that we're having now. And, you know, I would be all for... one thing I should note, probably, is that immediately after this incident happened, the health department director reached out on the Internet and on her Twitter and her Facebook pages and with every news organization she could get, and called for the ban of carriage rides in the city of St. Louis. We also discovered that she had signed the petition to help ban the carriages in New York City, which, you know, there's a huge battle with people trying to attempt to ban the carriages in New York City, but she's also a supporter of that. She told me Saturday night that she considers it cruel and inhumane for a horse to pull a carriage. So, kind of know where she stands on the issue. My problem now with the city of St. Louis is if this lady thinks she's in control of my business, I don't want her in control of my business because she obviously doesn't want my business. She wants to ban the carriages in the city of St. Louis.
Right, and that is an interesting situation to have someone trying to take charge of an area of business when you know that they are against it. Can you go over a little bit of maybe why people think that it's so cruel to have a horse pulling a carriage?
Well, I really don't understand their reasoning in a lot of things. One of the things that the health department director said is that she doesn't think the horses should be down there breathing the fumes. Now, this is a woman who's in charge of the health and safety of the public of the city of St. Louis, and it would seem to me that if the pollution was so bad that it would be bad for a horse, it would certainly be bad for a person. Why in the world wouldn't they be trying to do something to take care of that problem? We've also heard people say that it's cruel for the horses to do this and that kind of thing. I feel like those kind of people just don't understand the tradition and the history and the way these horses are bred and what they really want to do. I mean, these horses are big. Our horses are all Percherons or Belgian draft horses. They don't have they want to pull. They love to do what they do. They love the attention. They love getting to work. We don't work. Most of our horses work about 2 or 3 days a week, so they just love to do what they do.
And I think that is a very valid point. These horses were not really bred to be riding horses. They were bred to be able to do labor and haul heavy loads. So it is in them to kind of enjoy pulling.
Yes, I don't know if you know the history of them that much, but you know, most of the draft horses can trace their foundation back to the times of the Crusades. The Percherons were from France. The Belgians, obviously, were from Belgium and Germany. The Clydesdales were a Scottish horse, and the Shires were an English horse. At one time, the bigger, larger, heavier animals were all the ones that carried around the knights and carried on the armor and were used as battle horses. Naturally, those horses were selectively bred and became bigger animals, and they were naturally the ones that went into the draft work and started pulling carriages and wagons and things like that. So all of our horses, Percherons, were the horses that built America. They did all the work in America. At one time, it was the most popular of all breeds in the United States. Every farm had a team of horses. Even up until the tractor days, they kept their they kept their horses on the farm just in case the tractor got stuck. The horses would pull the tractor out. Whenever you see an old picture of a fire rig running down the street with a bunch of gray horses in front of it, those are probably Percherons. When Anheuser-Busch delivered beer with wagons instead of having the Clydesdales be kind of their logo or their trademark, they delivered the beer with Percherons. All the big breweries here in St. Louis use Percherons to deliver their beer.
Very interesting and very good to hear a little bit of the history of the breed and how it ties in with our own culture here. And can you tell me, for those who may not know, can you name some of the behavioral traits, something the horses will do if they are eager to get to work versus behaviors that they would do if they were not feeling so well and not eager to get to work, more so wanting to get to the barn and relax?
Right. Well, and, I'll tell you this. The first thing they have to know about our horses is they're like in mooses, since moose is 19 hands and weighs about 2,200 pounds. If he didn't want to pull that carriage, I don't think any of us or even a group of us could make him do it without him wanting to do it. Secondly, you can come to our barn anytime and watch us open up the stalls when it's time for the horses to go to work and notice that they'll walk right to the gate, drop their head, get the halter on, and be ready to go. They drop their head to be bridled. They stand quietly while they're harnessed. I mean, these animals enjoy the work and enjoy the interaction with their drivers and the public.
Very, very good points. For those who are concerned about horses and think that they may be suffering from too much heat or maybe even COPD, or rather heaves, is there anything that you would like to say for maybe people to watch for real signs of this, what a horse would actually behave like if it was feeling sick?
Sure. And the first instance, if you think your horse was getting a little hot or he had some theory, he was showing signs of heat stroke, probably one of the most important things is to make sure he's still sweating. Obviously, that's their mechanism to get rid of heat is to sweat. As long as, make sure he's sweating. Then there's there's what's called the capillary response test. Pull his lips back, look at his gums, make sure they're pink and they look pink and healthy. Then take your thumb and press it on his gums. Hold it there for a second. When you pull it off, you'll see a white mark. If that white mark immediately returns to pink again, then he's probably pretty well hydrated. Second test you can do is go up by his withers and grab some of his skin and pull it up and see if it returns and flattens back out with no wrinkles or anything. That'll tell you that as long as it bounces right back and it doesn't stay folded or tented, as they would say, or have wrinkles in it, then he's probably pretty well hydrated, so you're probably in pretty good shape. If your horse does show any signs, try to get him some water immediately and start cooling him off, but cool him off from the bottom up, from the legs up, with cool water, and then onto his back and chest and try to cool him down. A lot of people, like I said, this lady is worried about, heat indexes in the 110, or in the 100. I just read some interesting things yesterday that people that run endurance races in the West don't even consider talking about canceling them until the heat indexes are in 150 or 160. So, horses are outside animals. They're supposed to be outside animals. They're equipped to deal with, the heat and stuff. Obviously you don't want to push them too hard if they're not in condition or, you're unsure or anything like that. You probably shouldn't push them too hard. And one of the biggest things about a heat stroke or something in an animal, they'll stop. They'll quit working. They'll stop. And they'll also go down. If your horse goes down, it's a problem.
Very true. And that is probably the most obvious sign that something is very wrong.
Right. And that's, in fact, that was kind of the lesson I was trying to teach this lady from the health department the other night. Was she said, how do you know the horse doesn't have heat stroke? I said, well, the biggest reason I know he doesn't is because you made him stand here for 2.5 hours and he's not dead. So that's the biggest lesson. And as horse professionals and people that have horses in the public, I feel it's kind of our, it's kind of false want us to help educate people. As the population gets more and more urbanized, less and less people go to their grandmother or grandfather's house and see the farm animals and see cows and chickens and horses and things like that. When I was growing up, we did that when we were kids. A lot of people don't have that opportunity anymore, so they really don't know what to look for. They equate the same characteristics from their dog or something on a horse or a livestock animal that isn't necessarily true. So I feel like it's kind of falls on us to help educate people. We all have the best interests of the horses in mind, but just you can't let a few people with a radical agenda try to stop you from doing what's right.
And what do you hope comes from all of this? Where do you hope this entire issue kind of pushes things going forward here?
Well, there's been some really good things that have happened out of them and happened out of it. And one of the probably the greatest thing for us is just the overwhelming support we've had from the public. You know, once everybody realized that there wasn't anything wrong with Moose and that, you know, this lady was probably just trying to push her animal rights agenda on something, the support from the public was just overwhelming. People like to do carriage rides. And like I say, if you like what we do, come and take a ride. If you don't like what we do, then don't take a ride. But and that's completely fine. I mean, if you're a vegetarian, I'm not going to tell you have to eat a McDonald's. But people that you know, I don't particularly like somebody who has her opinion and her ideas, and whether they're in this case she was obviously wrong, but. You know, I don't like her trying to force her ideas on everybody else. What I'd like to see happen here is some common sense rules be put in place so that people know that the horses are okay. But I would think those common sense rules need to come from people who are professionals and know what they're talking about and know about dealing with these animals, and not somebody who rode a horse once when they were 17 years old. You know, I mean, this is the kind of thing that people rely on for their livelihood. We have a huge investment in our animals and in our farm and everything. You know, our lives are taking care of these guys. And the people that work for me take their jobs very seriously, and they enjoy their time with the horses and what they do. So if we're gonna have rules and regulations of diet, which is fine, I don't have any issues with that. I just think they need to be common sense rules that make sense, not just a question of let's ban the carriages or let's make it so inconvenient on them they can't do business. That's what's really trying to, you know, what some people are trying to do.
All right. Well, hopefully there will be some clarity on this moving forward so that it's easier for everyone to keep working and keep doing what they enjoy to do.
The one thing I would tell people with horses is, you know, you have to realize that there's a certain group of people out there that doesn't want you to have your horse. Doesn't want you to ride your horse, doesn't want you to own your horse, doesn't want you to keep your horse penned up. So you have to realize that these people are taking on the most obvious and out front things that they can. And right now it's carriage horses, and you know, later on it's going to be show horses, and it might be race horses, or you know, it could be anything. So you have to realize that you're kind of in the spotlight here, and when you have to watch what you do and let people make sure that people know what you're doing and that kind of thing, and be an ambassador for what we do.
Again, that was Jerry Kirk, the owner of Brookdale Farms, and of many of the horses who draw carriages around St. Louis. That's all for this Saturday's Horse Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.